tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
I can feel my face when I'm with you.
Cut
on a vampire.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Vampire Diaries After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. I am Tiana Hobson. I'm so happy to be back right now. It's a new season, season 7, episode 1, day 1 of 22,000. And joining me, I'm going to let all my co-hosts... I know I said that weird. I'm going to let all my co-hosts introduce themselves because we have... one new face for you guys tonight.
Hi guys, I'm Katie Campbell. I'm so excited to be back. I feel like screaming right now. I'm so excited. And you can find me on Twitter at Katie E.E. Campbell. That's Katie with three E's Campbell.
Hey guys, I'm Sam Davidson and I am even more excited to be back. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at SamD43.
Hey everyone, I'm the newbie here. I'm Jordana Morphin and you guys can find me at Jordana_Morphin on Instagram and on Twitter.
And
special guest.
Yes, and tonight we have a very, very special guest. He is the man behind the lens. He has directed 11 episodes of The Vampire Diaries and one of the originals too, because we got to give them love as well. Joshua Butler is here.
Thank you for having me.
And you guys can follow him on Twitter at the Joshua Butler. And we all have our phones and mobile devices and all the Apple products that you could imagine on the table right now. So tweet us during the show and we'll try to get to your questions.
And I'm the new chat mistress,
yes,
by the way.
Sam is taking over my duties as chat mistress this season. I'm very sad to be leaving you guys, but I know I'm passing it off to very good hands.
Yes, you are.
Thank you. That's all you got for me. Cool. So let's talk about tonight's episode, season premiere, season 7, No More Elena. And I thought it was still a great show. Mm-hmm. I think they're doing a great job. And we open things up. I'm going to talk about Lily and her other children, the Heretics. I had to actually write out the, like, pronunciation of that because last season I could not say heretics to save my life.
Yeah, I forgot about
that.
Yeah,
so I actually got it. I got it down that time. So you're welcome, world. So we meet all the heretics. We have Valerie, Beau, Natalie. Was that Nat?
Nora.
Yeah, that's what I actually wrote.
Valerie. Did you say Valerie? Yeah, you said.
Yeah,
Valerie.
Mary. Malcolm and Mary Louise.
Yeah, and
the missing and Oscar, who was kind of like.
Who is Oscar?
They said Oscar's out doing your little errands right now, but
we haven't met him.
So he's one that's out there missing. So these heretics are not very friendly people. They are trying to live their lives in a much more less suspicious way than they did before. And I think, how did you guys feel about Lily and sort of taking that role of trying to force them to live a way that they're not, isn't in their nature?
I just did not think that it would go well, and it didn't, you know? I mean, you can't give them a few drops of blood. The way she was doing it before, in the other world, she was giving them a few drops of blood, but it was kind of to the point of that they couldn't even move still. But now they can move, and she's trying to monitor how much blood that they have, but they're, like, natural killers, even more so than regular vampires, apparently. And I just didn't think it was going to last.
Well, when we saw Valerie come back, you could just tell she was, like, anxious. She was pissed off. So, you know, I had a feeling. They're all rebels. That's what, when I first saw them, like, these girls and dudes, they're rebels for sure. So,
yeah. I mean, they've been stuck down there for quite some time. It's kind of selfish of Lily in a way to expect them to just stay down there and be complacent with her.
Right.
I mean, you could definitely tell the tension was rising between them and Lily, and I actually thought they were going to turn on Lily at one point. And I actually want to ask Josh his opinion on Lily, because I know that the first episode last season that you directed was bird in the gilded cage, yes. Which is where we met Mama Salvatore.
Exactly, yes.
So when you're doing that and like seeing where she's gone from then to now, what's going on in your head for Lily this season?
Yeah, it was great because I was the first director to get to really work with Annie and get into what Lily was as a character. And, you know, it was interesting. I think last season it was about Damon and Stefan and their mommy issues. And now it seems like this season there's a whole new sort of surrogate family with the Heretics and the idea that Lily is sort of a mother to many, many people. And you know, it'd be interesting to see what kind of dynamics kind of come out of the new characters that we have yet to meet or just met tonight.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting too. We saw that last season, like you said, the mommy issues with Stefan and Damon, and they seemed more into that than they kind of like accept it now. Mm-hmm. But I really do feel like she still cares underneath, because she stopped when that whole thing happened with Matt graduating and that whole scene went down when they mm-hmm. actually did start attacking people. She stopped them at the moment that Stefan was about to get hurt.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, we already killed a ton of people. What's a few more? But no, because they're her kids, and she really does care.
Mm-hmm. She cares about all of her kids.
I love how she's so calm all the time. I just want her to be angry, and we haven't really seen that.
I'm scared of her angry, because, yeah, you know, it's like who, you don't want to let the bear out, mm-hmm. you know? So it's like, oh, yeah, like, just keep her nice and calm and collected. But right. It's always the calm and collected people who blow up the biggest. Mm-hmm. Because I'm one of those people where, like, you, mm-hmm. I'll stay nice and calm and sweet, and then as soon as you poke me one too many times, all hell's going to break loose. And so I think it would be very scary to have Heretics and Mama Salvatore both, like, on the loose at the same time.
Yeah. Are you a Libra, too?
I'm an Aquarius.
Oh, I bet. I think that Lily's a Libra. She has a hard time balancing things.
And she tries very, very hard to make sure to keep the balance of both of those. Yeah, so Lily is doing an okay job right now trying to keep these Heretics and coexisting. And one of the things that I noticed, we have like the two resident bad girls in the Heretics group. Mm-hmm. They're the mean girls, I like to call them, Nora and Mary mm-hmm. Louise. Mm-hmm. They're also a lesbian couple, which mm-hmm. was great to see, because, you know, going from back in 1903 when they're wandering around or mm-hmm. whatever year that was, you know, it wasn't so acceptable. And then you see them at the graduation ceremony and it's like, oh, let's hold hands. But then, you know, it's still kind of like, oh no, society mm-hmm. and acceptance.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd love to see some flashbacks, because it seemed that one was more into it, not into it, but one was more afraid of being public right, than the other.
That's one thing I love about the Vampire Diaries mm-hmm. is the flashbacks. That's what got me in season one. I mm-hmm. love that. Like that, you know, what these characters were like back in the day, in the beginning of their life. But it's funny because Nora was okay with the whole thing, and she was also taking selfies with dead bodies. So she's, like, very into this century.
Yeah, for not being from this century, they seem to kind of acclimated pretty well with, you know, the selfies. And even with Caroline going into the house and being, you know, the friendly neighbor, even though she was planning a bomb in their house, and be like, oh, yeah, like, your jacket's so cute. Oh, wouldn't that look great on me? And it's like, okay, they got the fashion sense down already. Yeah. It's all good. I love that Caroline went along with pretending to be compelled in those instances. I thought
that scene was freaking me out. I was getting major anxiety.
Me too.
When we saw the timer go, well, you know, it was, like, going down. I freaked out. I thought they were going to all die.
Well, I was thinking, you know, wait, will they die if they're vampires? But if they're blown up and set on fire, then yes, they die.
Right.
And the head's cut off, they die. I was just trying to think, right?
So did they run out of the house? Is that what happened?
Yeah, Caroline jetted out, grabbed Matt.
But what about the rest of them?
They probably did the same thing.
Yeah. I just don't think that it was enough to put them down. They're Heretics. They're mm-hmm. witch and vampire. It's going to take more than just Alaric's homemade bomb to get rid of them.
But, I mean, how easy was it pulling out Malcolm's heart?
Yeah.
That was pretty easy.
Well, because you caught him off guard. Stab a man in his back.
So he's actually, like, completely dead.
I think so.
There was one time.
Look over at Josh and see if he's gonna, if he knows anything and is gonna like give it away in his facial expression.
I mean, was there not one time when Stefan's heart got pulled out and then
about to be? There were a few times,
but I thought his heart got pulled out once and we saw it, and I don't. I think anything's possible. I think, though, in this show, pulling a heart out and holding it is pretty end-all.
That's a way to kill a vampire. Yeah.
That's usually
a game.
For a vampire. Yeah. Yeah.
Over. Like,
you
game
get out
of
a heart, yeah. You kind of, it's hard.
Yeah, he also, like, turned into that fossilized stone creature. Yeah. So my guess is that he's gone for good.
And he was Lily's favorite.
Yeah, he was her favorite and her oldest. And
I was a little confused when we saw all of them, you know. Were they looking at Lily when, you know, she was, like, crying about Malcolm? Were they kind of jealous that she was... You know what I'm saying? They were all kind of... I don't even know how to explain what they were.
I think there's something weird going on between everybody. Like Tiana was saying, the Lily and the kids have this kind of silent battle right now about how they think they should be living. And they did mention it at first when we first met all of them that he's the pet. So it's like they're also annoyed about that. I think that was her favorite. But probably because, like you said, it was her eldest. So it was the first part of her family. And she's really protective over that family.
So my thing with her and her other kids, I'm going to call them that because they're not her real kids. She seems... Okay, so we know that back in the day, everyone ended up giving Lily their blood because she was the one who couldn't, like, handle it the most or something like that, she was saying. So after meeting these guys, they don't seem, at least the girls, don't seem like the type to just be like, yeah, Lily, go ahead, take my blood ration for the day. I'll sacrifice myself for you. At least in my opinion, those girls didn't seem like that. So I wonder if Lily did something to kind of become the headmaster or the matriarch of this family of heretics to, like, take control.
Part of the reason why she was so scary last season was because she just seemed like she's nuts. Like, she's literally crazy in the head. And I think, like I said, in 1903, she was giving them a little bit of blood. I don't necessarily think that they agreed to that. Like, they probably put up a fight, and she's like, they're doing this for me. But really, though, she made it that way, and she's telling them you're going to like it or not. So I think that that's another reason, you know, there's just...
And she's still acting that way, you know, she has them all locked down in the house, and when she said she was going to New York, and they were all pissed off that they can't really leave, so...
It's not a happy family.
But if they didn't love Lily and care about her and respect her decisions, then they would leave. Like, they're not in a tomb like they were last time.
See, that's the thing. I don't know what Lily's holding on them to keep them there and somewhat loyal, because we've seen them go against her orders of keeping the peace, but then they don't ever just be like, hey, you know what? I don't need you. I'm free. I can go do whatever I want. They keep coming back. So something's bringing them back that's keeping them together, even after all this time.
This is family, right? Mm-hmm. It's their sense of family. I think that Lily, in a sense, they see her as their savior, because they wouldn't be alive today, present day, if it wasn't for her. And the only one that doesn't really care to be alive, it seems, is Mary Beth.
Valerie.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Valerie hates our time. She's like the she's like the angry loner.
Yeah.
Is Valerie's description in my eyes.
She said it's hell.
Which, I mean, she's living in the 21st century. It is a little bit of hell.
Well, you know, she got hit by a car and she was just left there.
I would be pissed off, too.
I
would have done the exact same thing.
I thought that's what she was going to do.
But I love
you
that
guys
the three
are some
of them.
People.
But I like you know, power of three. We're going back to Charmed and, like, Charlie's Angels. Mm-hmm. And these three women together seem very special, and it's kind of very enticing to watch. I don't dislike them when the three of them are together.
Yeah, they're vicious.
Kind of like the new. I get it.
But they care about each other. You know, they cared that they ran over their sister. Mm-hmm. So now they're back for revenge.
And then Mama Salvatore also has her other child who's a little lost right now, Enzo. And I know last season, Jordana, I don't know your opinions. I know their opinions. We were back and forth about Enzo a lot last season.
Yeah, same. I still don't know how to feel about him. I like him, though. There's, like, something about him that, I don't know.
Charming.
He's charming. But he's a sneaky little one, so, you know, like Caroline said, you can't really trust him. So, yeah. I don't know.
What about you, Josh? Feelings on Enzo? Because I know you're a fan of the show, too. You do watch.
Well, yeah, I fell in love with Enzo when I directed What Lies Beneath, which is episode 20 of season 5, mm-hmm. where the Cabin in the Woods episode, we like to call it, where, you know, I just think Michael Mullarkey is an amazing actor, and also just, you know, his sort of fun, you know, disappearing act, reappearing act in that episode. I just, you know, just the idea that he's just having sort of fun with the predicament he's in, you know, in the world of being an immortal, the idea of him being just kind of the snarky, you know, bad boy, but he just enjoys playing around with the power, you know. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't know where they're going to go with him this season, but I really do like him still, and I know it's just interesting to see what part of the puzzle he'll be a part of.
Yeah, because I feel like he's Team Enzo. Like,
he's his own team,
you know?
Yeah. No, it's true, and there are people that shipped him, you know, with Caroline and mm-hmm. others, and it's like, well, you know, at the end of the day, he's really just his own ship, I think. He he's a one-man. But, no, like, I like him. I do. I like him. But again, I'm biased because I got to work with him, and he's a great guy. So,
you know, someone actually said something very interesting on the chat that, do you think the Heretics are somehow sired to Lily, and that is why they are staying?
I feel like Stefan said something in the finale last season about, you know, he said something, a brush-off comment about just because your Heretics are sired to you in some way. But all the stories that I remember from last season with Lily explaining the Heretics, it was them who took her in, not her who did anything for them necessarily. It wasn't like she turned them mm-hmm. or anything like that. So, again, the sire bond is usually like, I turn Katie into a vampire, now she's sired to me, and this doesn't seem like it's that way, but maybe it is. Maybe there's more to the story that Lily hasn't told us yet.
There's a witch part to it, maybe, that we don't
know. That we don't know?
Yeah.
Well, what was that whole thing when she was with Enzo at the bar and she showed him...
The sparkly ball. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's just what I called it. But didn't we see Alaric with that in Europe? Mm-hmm. So something's going on with that missing treasure, which I like how she said it sunk in the sea and then someone found it and all I could think of was Titanic. They've been playing it a lot on HBO. Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's the jewel of the ocean or whatever.
But it's not blue.
It's not blue. It's sparkly red. So it was probably easier to find because it didn't blend in as much.
Most definitely.
So we have... While Damon and Bonnie and Alaric are all in Europe, we are left only with Matt, Caroline, and Stefan in Mystic Falls to deal with this heretic problem. And their solution that they come up with after trying to kill everyone is, let's just offer a treaty. We're going to clear out the whole city, tell people there's a mining fire, we're going to get everyone out, let the heretics live here, we'll live here peacefully, mm-hmm. we won't bother you, you don't bother us, and let's live our lives until we can buy time to figure out how to get rid of them. Is this peace offering, like, a good thing or a bad thing at this moment when you guys see it?
I mean, honestly, I think it was supposed to be a good thing, but it didn't last long. I mean, nothing ever lasts long.
No.
Ruined by the end of the first episode.
I think that it was very dumb. Sorry, do you think it was another smart point?
I was just
going
to say, look who came in and ruined it, unknowingly.
Who?
Damon.
Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah,
of
course.
He knew.
It wasn't unknowingly. He knew about the peace offering
and he was gonna
the
ruin
treaty.
I think that all of the experience that of years of mythology mm-hmm. and fighting different big bads every year that they should have known better. What a bad idea. Like, so bad. Or just leave Mystic Falls. Take the people that you love and go find another Mystic Falls.
Or, I mean, when we see Damon come back, obviously he already killed one, and they thought it was impossible to, like, kill them all. So, I mean...
Now you just gotta do the same
thing to
everybody
else.
Yeah, but I think it's a matter now of catching them all solo.
Yeah.
Because them together, even if Malcolm had been aware that Damon was there, he was focused on Bonnie at the mm-hmm. time, using his magic to suck her magic. So he was distracted. That's the only reason Damon was able to do what he did.
Right.
So it's like having five of them together, six of them, technically, because we don't know where Oscar is, having them all together and fighting off that, I don't think that the Scooby Gang could actually accomplish it.
I thought it was really interesting, too, that that's what they decided. It's like season six. Everybody's out of the town again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I kind of liked it. It gave it a very, like, Hunger Games vibe with the city being kind of, like, abandoned. And it's like, oh, my gosh, what's going on? And then you have Damon standing over at the watchtower. And he's, like, Batman looking down on the city like, the city needs saving.
But if it was Hunger Games, like, the people that were in Hunger Games, they would have left if they had no choice.
I got a Walking Dead feeling when I saw that. And then when they were, well, obviously when they attacked him during the ceremony, it was Walking Dead for me. Like a zombie kind of thing.
Yes. All right. Now let's talk about this European adventure that's going on with Damon, Bonnie, and Alaric. Because there's a lot of fun stuff that's happening there. They're getting the fun stuff and everyone else at home is dealing with, like, the serious things. And, you know, everyone's journaling to Elena. So that's fun. But...
Which is, it's the Vampire Diaries. I love that about this episode.
It's like, oh, look, someone's actually keeping a diary now. Awesome.
Well, Elena started out.
She started out with one. And then
started out.
Valerie's writing one, too. Or one of the.
Yeah
she has, too. There's a lot of diaries happening now.
You know, speaking of Valerie, really quick before we move on to that, do you think because of her whole opinion, she kind of seems like this is the worst place to be? You know, she's kind of on her own, but then she also joins the sisters. Do you think she would be able to, like, move over to the other side?
Yes.
I do think so. Mm-hmm. I definitely think so.
Someone just needs to swoon her the right way.
Oh, you're talking about getting her on, like, the good guy's side. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you meant the other side. I was like, isn't the other side gone?
Oh, like, oh, the other
she
side.
She can't go to the other side, but I'm with you now. Mm-hmm. So Damon and Alaric have been drinking a lot because, I mean, let's face it, they're going through a lot. Alaric just lost his wife and his babies, and Damon lost Elena, and they're just not doing so well. So they're drinking their way through Europe, or so they think they are. Alaric's actually not drinking. He's sipping on tea, and not, like, the gossipy kind.
but he's playing a really good...
He's playing a really great drunk.
Tipsy, you know.
I think he had Bonnie and Damon fooled, so...
Mm-hmm.
And they both have heightened senses. Like, Damon, you're a vampire. Figure this out.
How would you not know?
Yeah, how do you not know your best friend is?
Well, you know, let me just say that they were in Amsterdam.
Oh.
So.
We all know where you're going with this one, Sam.
Why would they say Amsterdam? Why wouldn't they say somewhere else? I don't know. Just saying.
Because the canals are so pretty in Amsterdam.
Okay, there's plenty of other pretty canals. They could have been in Venice.
The Van Gogh Museum is there.
Yeah.
It's the Rijksmuseum. Clearly, that's what
you're Anne Frank's house. Clearly, they were having a ball.
Yeah. No, it's really having a great time.
They were overwhelmed by culture. So
Alaric is sneaking off, and he's meeting with these psychics, and we learn that he tried to give Joe's wedding ring to them as something sentimental to connect with her because he wants to talk to her. And we learn that he lost the original one to the first psychic, and then he, like, attacks the psychic and... Katie.
Really deserving of that attack, though, because I was so mad at this guy. You know, that's the typical thing you say. You guys had a great bond. She misses you. I mean, like, give me something real. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like he might get a little crazy, though.
Someone just said that was very interesting. Alaric didn't act like this when Jenna died. But Jenna wasn't also carrying his unborn twins.
Yeah. And Jenna, at this point, was... Alaric has lost a lot since Jenna, and a lot can change your mind and your mindset as you keep experiencing these tragic events. A lot can change in your mental stability. Mm-hmm. So he was maybe a little bit more stable back when Jenna died compared to now when his wife and unborn children died.
There's also a vampire period in between
events.
And he also died at some point and then came back to life. So there's just a lot that's happening right now.
He's a different person in a way than he was when Jenna died.
Exactly.
Definitely a different person.
He was brought back to life.
Mm-hmm. And was a vampire. And then was not a vampire.
Yeah. He's been through it all.
Yeah, he's had a lot going on.
There's a lot of craziness going on. So then we have Damon and Bonnie who are... still trying to get along. Well, they're getting along. They're friends. And they're friends in the weirdest way possible. Because their constant bickering is brother sisterly, but also some people read into it as romantically because it's just sexual tension. Where are we all standing right now on the Baymon fandom? Anyone shipping Baymon?
I honestly, I feel like there's some tension. I've been getting that vibe since obviously last season, but I don't know. I know that since they've been together for so long and they're such good friends, you know, sometimes things happen, but I feel like there's some tension and we could see it when he like got her and saved her.
I think it's a little too soon for something to happen like that because, I mean, Delana and, you know, that's still existing, even though we know Elena's sleeping for a while, for a long time. But I think that it could turn into that because I definitely see some kind of a flirtatious thing going on.
Right. Well, when you think about it, though, if Elena had to pick someone for Damon to be with while she was gone and then would be gone when she woke up... I mean, that's kind of the perfect situation because she wants him to be happy.
Yeah, and it's very mature of her because she said she wants him to find love, right? So why not in her best friend?
And then when she dies, she's like, oh, hey, I'm back. And then it's perfect.
And then it's perfect.
Yeah.
Josh, do you ship Damon?
I know you're a Delina. I do ship Damon and Elena. And, you know, I think Elena made Damon a better man. And I think that it would probably be bad if... he slept with her BFF, but that would be my feeling, that that wouldn't be something that Elena would be terribly happy about. I mean, unless she knew she was gone for eternity, which hopefully she isn't. Yes.
Yeah. I think, and I'm glad you brought up the eternity thing, because I think a lot of times, you know, when people lose a significant other in real life, and the significant other, they do find love later on in life, or find a new partner to spend their lives with, but the difference with this is that he knows that Elena's coming back eventually. So it's that awkward phase of like, well, should I date? Should I go fall in love with someone? Because I know she's coming back to me eventually.
But that's why Bonnie's the perfect person. Because when Elena does come back, Bonnie's gone. Like, there's no way that they're both going to be there at the same time. I was not a fan before, but it makes sense to me now.
But then he'd be missing Bonnie when Elena comes back, but he still loves Elena.
It just doesn't seem fair that he gets to love all these people and Bonnie and Elena don't get to love all these people.
No. I mean, Elena loved his brother.
I mean, that's true. I forgot about that part.
Oh my God, I'm still a Selena. I'm a Selena.
All right.
Yeah.
She's a diehard.
Go back and watch season one, okay? Have fun with that.
Before we move on to our next topic, guys, we bring all of our podcasts to you guys for free. And one way we were able to do that is by supporting other shows. We have Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is premiering on the CW Monday night, October 12th at 8 o'clock. And it looks great. It's all about a crazy ex-girlfriend who moves across the country to be with her boyfriend. And there's nothing weird with that at all. It's also like a musical. And she moves from New York to West Covina, California, which I grew up in the West Covina area. Okay, yeah. Ooh. So I just hope that they do us justice and they don't make us all out to be these weirdo like hicks like the OC did when they used to bash on the IE all the time. So I'm very excited about this show and I think everyone should tune in and check it out. And I mean, it will probably make it'll make me feel better and a little less crazy about some of the things I've done / am doing now to some of my exes.
Yes. Wow. And the series premiere is Monday, October 12th, if you guys were wondering, at 8/7 Central.
Yeah, so make sure you guys go check that out.
It actually looks hilarious.
It does look really funny.
I mean, it's a musical. They had me at musicals and dance breaks. Like, I'm sold.
I saw the pilot. It's very funny. It's like a new Glee in a very weird way.
Yeah.
Oh, fun.
So when, back to this show, when Damon comes back from Europe, Damon and Bonnie, they're both like, yo, we both ended up at the Whitmore house, or the
dorm.
Whitmore College. And they're both in the dorm room. They're like, yo, did you check that out? I'm not happy with what they're doing over there. Me either. Let's fight back. So then they start working together as, like, secret agents. But what I loved was that Bonnie still hung up on this whole 3 seconds that he hesitated before he saved her. And I'm thinking in my head, I mean, he's hesitated in the finale to save you, too. I think he's always going to have a little bit of a hesitation, but I love that his response was like, in second one, yes, I was Elena was alive. By second two, I was kissing her. But by second three, if you die, I lose my best friend. And that's when I was like, yes, Damon and Bonnie forever. As friends, though?
He kind of, yeah, you can ship them as friends.
Yeah, I ship them as friends, not lovers.
He kind of redeemed himself there. At first, I was a little annoyed with him, but then at the same time, I get it. Because right in front of him is this girl that if she passes away, you know, the love of his life comes back. But he redeemed himself with those words. I also feel bad for Bonnie, too, because she's going to be looked at as this pawn that, you know, this person who, if she just goes away, Elena comes back, and Matt's over there blaming her.
Yeah. I feel so bad for her.
Like, Matt's blaming her, Damon's blaming her, just, like, everyone's blaming her. But I love Bonnie's attitude of, like, you can blame me, but you're stuck with me, because I'm not going anywhere, basically. And I'm like, yes, Bon, I love you.
I want to know if we'll see more of that strong person, because that's what we heard when she came back from that prison world. She was going to be a stronger...
Like, I'm not taking crap from nobody.
Yeah.
Everyone can stop killing me for
Actually,
once.
Actually, some brilliant man online, Rocknada, said that he thinks that Damon needs someone like Bonnie to keep him in check.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Which is why she was sent on the trip. To watch over him.
But we all know, friendships, even like Stefan and Caroline's, turn into relationships. I mean, the only one that has stayed platonic but started romantic was Matt and Elena. And Matt and Bonnie, too, which I always thought a little bit, I don't know. I just know that Bonnie Caroline. Needs to get laid so bad. I think that's what everyone's trying to say.
Yeah.
They Bonnie need to put Bonnie with someone.
Do you, Josh, do you like Steriline?
I do, yes. Yeah. Well, yeah, and again, I had a very nice Steriline moment in the last episode I directed, Band of Birded in a Gilded Cage, where they finally consummated their relationship. So it was a great moment that, you know, you just see that the chemistry that they had was fantastic, so I'm a fan.
Yes, and we got plenty of Steriline moments tonight.
I want to touch on the fact that you said that they have chemistry, because I, as a diehard Stelena, I get it. Like, I love Delena, too, because like I love being in love.
Coming
and,
over to this Steriline camp a little.
Yeah, just a little bit because of the chemistry. I'm believing it because I see something real there. That's why I'm okay with it. A little bit.
Yeah, well, tonight we got a couple moments, like, when she's sitting at her mom's bench, which I thought was a nice touch that they put a bench there in honor of her mom's memory. And he kind of comes over, and they have their first awkward conversation, it felt like, since he confessed his love for her in the finale. And I thought that was a great moment that he's like, you know what? Okay, you take your time to heal and get better, and we'll just be friends. I won't hit on you, basically. And I was like, that's so nice of him. Like, he's such a gentleman to let her grieve the loss of her friends.
Because he's the most amazing character in the history of characters.
There's that, yes. And then, you know, we have them just throughout the episode. I liked at the end of the episode when, you know, she's telling him, I'm still struggling from the loss of my mom, and there's all these horrible things going on, but when I'm with you...
So happy.
Blinders.
Oh, yeah.
It's you I want to be with. And then they get that kiss, and I just wrote, like, it's about time.
I was waiting for this moment.
I wasn't sure we were going to get it in the first episode back, but I'm so happy that we did.
I didn't think we were, but...
I think we needed it, too.
They needed to give us some candy, you guys. Like, they couldn't just do an apocalypse, Mystic Falls on us, and not give us
and
some love.
And not give us some loving.
Yeah. Well, the Sheriff Forbes thing, too, I love what Stefan said to her, you know.
What would she do?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What would she do? She would save humanity. And
that's what they're trying to do. Until Caroline gets kidnapped.
Next week.
And then next week we're like, what's going on? Okay, so then let's talk about this 3 years later thing that's happening right now, because...
Wait, did you think that Enzo was going to turn on her like that? Did you?
Yes.
No, I wasn't expecting that at all.
Oh, I was.
That was a surprise. Yeah. That was good, yeah. It was a nice choice.
I liked it, though, because it's like he's been spending the whole episode being told he needed to pick a side. No one trusts him, which I have said before, too. You know, he's kind of in his own place and needs to pick a side. I still don't think that he's fully committed to one side, though.
He doesn't even need compulsion, though. He's so good looking. Yeah. Like, he can say anything to anyone in that accent. They'd be like, okay, yeah.
Like, sure. Yes, yes. So then we flash forward 3 years, and we see Stefan is waking Damon up from a casket with
blood.
Something
in his mouth? Who's? Was a dagger in...
He had blood, right?
He had blood coming out of Damon.
Oh, no. He fed him blood. Oh,
yeah,
he
had a bag of blood that he was just like, wake up! And, like, squeezing on his face.
How did he put him to sleep? I don't understand.
We don't know that, but I knew it. The moment that we saw that in the very beginning of the episode, I'm like, Damon went to sleep because he's like, wake me up when Elena
gets back. I thought that was only the original, so. That they could go to sleep like that.
No. I don't know.
Do we have another crossover episode?
Ooh, that would be fun.
Who knows?
The possibilities are endless. But Stefan's being hunted and is like, yo, she's back. I wasn't expecting her, but my scar opened up and I knew she was back. So he had to come back for me. So we have all these things happening. And then, of course, it's like end of the episode and next week on. And you're like, ah, what's happening? So I'm looking forward to that part a lot, a lot, a lot. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was a great way to kind of wrap out the first episode back in this season. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, leaving us with all these questions. Like, what is that X mark on you, and what is happening?
Because it's the same one that Mute guy, Bo had on his neck. Sam, I wasn't sure if you were going to say something
there. No, sorry,
there,
that was just my
just
thinking.
Just a deep sigh.
Thinking
just
sigh.
A deep. All right, well, that wraps things up on our recap, and I want to take some time to talk to our special guest, Josh, over here, because he's got all the stuff that we want to know about what happens on the sets, and what it's like directing and being out there. So I guess my first question for you is, are you more, and say this, that this could actually happen, Stelena versus Delena, where do you land?
Well, I think Delena, obviously, because, you know, the show evolved from Stelena. You know, it was the beginning of, you know, the season one and a lot of season two and even first part of season three, where she was conflicted, obviously, about her feelings. And ultimately, once Damon and Elena got together, then I think it became, you know, a story about Delena. So, I mean, I respect everyone who ships whoever they want in the show, and that's what's so great about The Vampire Diaries is you can just, you know, pick two people, and there's obviously a lot of, there's seasons now of material where these characters have had moments, you know, so there's a lot to pick from. But for me, I fell in love with the Damon Elena story as soon as it happened. It was just, and of course, Ian and Nina, I thought, had amazing chemistry on screen, and just, it was just, you know, one of the great romances, I think, in television history.
I agree with that. And you've been directing episodes since season one, so you've been there for this whole run.
Yeah.
The whole run.
Yeah.
How do you keep, like, I have a hard time remembering facts and stuff, and sometimes you go weeks without directing an episode, so what's it like coming back and having to kind of relearn everything? Like, do you remember it?
Well, it's, you know, it's like every episode, you know, because episodic television directors go from show to show to show and come back to shows and leave shows and come back, as you say, you know, many episodes later. So in a way, that's it's like homework. You really have to read all the scripts that of the episodes or see them if they've been shot between the last one you directed and the one you're currently directing, so you can just be as up on the show. And of course, with The Vampire Diaries, it's just like so much happens every week. It's just it is such a process during prep. When I'm prepping an episode, I have my script, but then I also have to make sure I understand contextually where the show falls. Mm-hmm. So it is a lot of homework. But good homework. It's fun homework.
Yeah,
it's much better than, you know, math or science. it's a nice way to...
But it might even be more confusing.
It could be, yes, indeed. Yeah, no, it could be, thankfully. I love the quote somebody said, I think it was season two, they said, a critic said, every episode is another show's season finale. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like there's that much that happens in each episode, which is what's great about it.
That is so true. And sorry, my phone's going off with Twitter questions.
Oh.
I'll look at that in a second. But you have been directing since the first season. How did you kind of get your start in directing? Because I know you went to USC's film school and all that. So did you come out of there, immediately start directing television episodes, or did you?
Well, actually, no. I started as an editor. I mean, I wrote and directed a student film at USC, and then my day job was editing. And I ended up editing a pilot for USA Network, and the show got picked up, and I basically convinced them to let me direct episodes, which they let me do, and then basically made the transition there. So
awesome.
Yeah, it's nice to have a background as an editor, because editors are really some of the most unsung heroes in Hollywood, because mm-hmm. they really are there, you know, putting the show together, you know, shot to shot to shot, and picking performances and you know, making the show look and feel like it should, and the pace of the show and the overall emotion of the show. I think a lot of times editors don't get the credit that they're due.
So that knowledge helps you in the whole directing process.
It does, especially mm-hmm. in television, which is just shot so quickly. You have to shoot so much in each day, because the schedules are so tight, and you know, air dates are coming up, and four shows basically at any given time are being worked on in various stages of production. So it's like there's this whole, you know, machine that's running really, really quickly, and it's important when you're on set to know exactly what you need to shoot. And as an editor, you can think that way. You know what pieces you need, and you don't have time to shoot pieces that you just, you know,
right.
don't need. And you don't have time to shoot anything you don't need anyway. So it's, you know, it's nice to have that background.
Yeah. Focus. Did you ever do any acting as well?
I never did. Okay. I'm so happy being behind the camera. I mean, I love talking about my work. But in terms of actors, I mean, I really think that there are amazing people that put, you know, put that passion forward and go out there and do it, because it's an amazingly difficult job, you know, and just the grueling hours and the pressure of, you know, of just performing day after day after day, especially if you're the lead on a television show, mm-hmm. you know, like someone like Nina Dobrev is just amazing mm-hmm. to watch, because she just has so much energy, and, you know, and of course she's playing multiple characters sometimes. And yeah. There were days where I had to direct her both as Elena and Catherine, and I don't know, she was brilliant. She kept it all together, and, you know, she was a pleasure to work with. So someone like that, you just like, okay, I'm just going to stay behind the camera, because I can't do it that good. No.
That must have been really fun to see her as Catherine and Elena. Mm-hmm. I think she did an amazing job with that.
I do too. Catherine is like one of my favorite all-time characters on television.
Yeah, me too. I love Catherine.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah, she's amazingly
amazing lady.
Yeah. Yes.
Speaking of Anina, how do you feel now that she's not in, obviously, this season? And she's,
well, I must say, I enjoyed tonight's episode a lot. I must say it was very surreal watching an episode of The Vampire Diaries without Nina Dobrev in mm-hmm. it. I mean, it just was very strange. You're just mm-hmm. watching, and you keep expecting her to show up, and she doesn't. So it's, you know, it's definitely a transition, you know, and I think a lot of fans, it'll be interesting to see how that transition goes, mm-hmm. you know.
I just want to put this in there, too. I'm very grateful they're keeping her present, yeah. her character, like with the diary thing. I kind mm-hmm. of do hope that continues, to just make it like she didn't exist. Mm-hmm. She was just the star of the show right. for 6 years.
right.
That would suck. So I really appreciate what they did, and I hope that they continue to write to her to make her a continuous presence in the show.
Yeah. I'm really excited, though, the fact that I, like you said, it's surreal that she's not in it. And, you know, I was kind of bummed throughout the summer. I would just think about, oh, wait, she's not going to be in the next season. It's really upsetting. Yeah. I'm depressed right now.
But did you cry? Because they say you cry all the time.
I do cry. They all know I'm emotional. I cried. Tonight, I didn't cry, because that's what surprises me. You know, I think that there's a lot of fun storylines we get to mm-hmm. play with, and there's exciting things coming up that we don't even know about yet that kept me moving forward, and I would think about her every now and then, but not as much as I thought I would tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where this season takes us. I know you have a couple projects coming up that we're going to talk about. You're directing an episode of Limitless on October 20th. It's a new show, and it's amazing. If you guys haven't watched it yet, go check it out, and make sure you especially watch on October 20th.
Yes, please.
Because that's when you'll see Joshua Butler's name pop up, and you're like, oh my gosh, I know that dude. He was on the Vampire Diaries after show. He's best friends with Tiana, Katie, Sam, and Jordan. Yeah. Like, awesome.
My new besties, exactly. Absolutely. Right here. Yeah.
It's
too bad you're not doing the Limitless after show.
I know, right?
I'm sure they're wonderful people.
Maybe
too,
we'll kick them all off that night.
Exactly. Guest hosts.
Guest hosts with a special guest.
Yes, exactly.
And then The Magicians. What can you tell us about that?
I'm leaving to go direct that in about a week, and it's being shot in Vancouver. It's based on a best-selling trilogy of novels, The Magicians. Some people just love them and swear by them and die by them. I actually just learned about them when I got the job, but I'm excited. I saw the pilot. It's phenomenal. Sci-Fi Channel, it's doing an amazing job with it. It's huge production value and really, really emotional storylines, and it's premiering in January, and I'm just really excited about getting to play in that world.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, I'm sure you'll be tweeting about it when your episode is air and everything. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
It's such a pleasure. Yeah.
Yeah, it was so great having you on, especially for our first episode back.
Yes.
Yeah. We're running low on time, but we're gonna quickly go around the room. That's you included too, Josh.
Okay.
And we're gonna give predictions for the season. But
your
quickly.
AfterBuzz TV prediction.
Starting over there because
okay.
I want to go last.
Valerie, like we said before, I do have a feeling that Valerie might go to the other side just because the way she's been acting. I just have this feeling that she's getting tired of her family. Mm-hmm. So
I see a weird love triangle with the heretics going on with one of the brothers or Matt. Or actually Enzo. Maybe Enzo would be a good one for them to have a little triage with. I don't know, but I see that possibly happening.
Well, I want to talk about this hunter, whoever that was hunting mm-hmm. Stefan and Damon 3 years later. And I think, I don't remember who said it while we were watching, but they want us to believe that it's Lily. But mm-hmm. I don't think it is. And it might be someone we haven't met yet. Or what if it's Joe or something? Like, she came back, and she's just a hunter. Yeah. Something had to happen when she came back, because something's happening with these exes that's connecting Stefan and Damon with the heretics, and Alaric's doing something with this stone to bring her back, and Lily wants it, so it's connected to the heretics as well. Maybe it's with the exes. Something's going on there. Maybe it's Joe.
Mm. Okay.
Good idea.
Josh, your turn.
Well, I'm just, since these are all my friends who work on the show, I may have to take the fifth on this one because, I don't want to give anything away that I might happen to know based on the people that I have worked with for many years.
But I know you're going to be busy with The Magicians, but are you going back this season to direct any episodes?
We'll see.
Maybe?
Hopefully.
Okay.
Yes, it's been...
All right. I like that you're playing coy. Yeah, I like shy people. It's cool.
Exactly.
I'll get it out of
here.
Your
predictions.
Oh, my prediction, I was stalling on time because I didn't have any. But I kind of like Katie's thing with maybe it's Joe coming back as the hunter, or maybe it's someone new that we haven't met yet and is the new big bad. You know, maybe it's another, I don't know. Something bigger than all of them that's going to bring kind of the heretics and the Scooby Gang together battle. I mean, yeah.
At this point, how much higher can you get? They're the worst. They're the best. It's the highest up that you can ever get.
Maybe there's a Queen King Hunter. Yeah. You know, like whatever their name is.
Evan Rachel Wood just going to stop in?
Yeah. You never know. And then I was just going to quickly mention, because I did do some research today, and we all know that Candace is pregnant, so that'll be fun to see how the baby bunk kind of gets hidden, or if they use it this season. As I say that, I look at Josh, and he's not giving anything away.
That's a very good, it's a very good question, yes, to see what happens with that.
Yeah, so congrats to her. But there's a really funny video from Comic-Con with the cast answering kind of fan questions, and so the question was, to her, and it's like, how will Caroline's character grow this season? And everyone starts kind of like laughing and giggling, and it's kind of like, okay, now we're all in on the joke, because mm-hmm. like, oh yeah, she's gonna expand in many ways. So you guys should check that out. And then in the same interview, Julie Plec also does confirm that Michael, who plays Enzo, that they're going to be incorporating his music into this season. So I think that'll be great, because he just went on a European summer tour, just him and his guitar, which is the sexiest thing alive. So I think it'll be great to kind of see how that plays in with Enzo's character. And I am getting the wrap it up sign. So thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. And everyone, let's go around the room and remind them where they can find us online.
You guys can find me at Jordana_Morphin on Twitter and on Instagram.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at SamD43 and online at SamDavidsonEntertainment.com.
You can find me on Twitter at Katie E. Campbell. That's Katie with three E's Campbell. Instagram at KatieCampbell13 and YouTube.com/KatieCampbellOnline. I have a vlog.
I think her name is Katie Campbell. And Josh, where can they
find you? Oh, yes, I'm the Joshua Butler on Twitter, and I'm Ice Blink Films on Instagram. And Facebook, you'll find me, just as me.
Yeah, and Limitless, October 20th.
Tuesday, CBS, 10 p.m., October 20th.
Yay. Make sure you watch it. And you can catch everything we do at AfterBuzz TV online on all social media platforms at AfterBuzzTV.com. And I'm at the Tiana Hobson. Thank you guys so much for joining us, and we will be back next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments and questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.